Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And Yuval's here. Hello, Yuval.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm so excited to be speaking to you.
And I'm excited to be speaking with you.
I have been watching your stuff. You are so brilliant.
Wait, I didn't hear that. Could you say it louder? Let me turn the volume up on my computer.
You're so talented. Oh my gosh. I've got so many questions to ask you. So
I hope I give you all the right answers. By the way, I was just hearing you talking about curtains for sound. I also have an additional microphone I can connect, which makes my sound a little bit crisper. Yeah, let me do that. Give me just one second. Let me know if that sound quality is now a little bit better.
Oh, that is so much better.
For me, it doesn't make a difference. I can absolutely switch to the other microphone. You tell me. I take direction very well.
Okay, so let's just ask the studio. We'll see which mic is better.
So my mic sounds nice. Check one, check two. Do you like the sound of this microphone, or do you remember what the last one sounded like?
Not maybe to do it in a French accent.
But of course, my microphone, it sounds nice. Let me check one, or maybe I will check two. Huh? Do you like this one?
Israeli, perhaps?
This microphone is totally sounding okay for me, but I'm not really awareness of the sound for you, because I only hear the sound for me.
Okay, are you ready? I think I actually have to keep this part in.
You are invited to. And
okay, so if you're ready to start, then let's begin.
This is Community in Conversation with Kathy Kayla, starting conversations that matter.
Good morning and welcome to Community in Conversation. Award-winning and celebrated actor, host, filmmaker and advocate. His name is Yuval David. As a filmmaker, Yuval produces, directs and writes short and feature films, documentaries, web series, digital and TV content. You'll know him from hit shows like Madam Secretary, The Michael J. Fox Show, Days of Our Lives, and ABC's popular primetime series, What Would You Do? And if you haven't seen that, I suggest you go onto YouTube and you go and watch. It is absolutely fantastic. It is hilarious. I think that you'll enjoy it. He's also been involved in countless feature and short films and web series. Yuval David, welcome to 101.9 High FM.
Thank you for inviting me to Chai FM. I feel delighted to be here and to be speaking with you.
Is storytelling something you are born with, or is it something that you learn?
That's a great question. You know, that's the first time somebody's asked me that, and I speak about storytelling so much. I think it's really both. Storytelling is part of human nature. We can go throughout human history and explore the way people would learn. And people would learn and people would share through stories, whether we go all the way back around what people did around campfires, telling stories, to the Greek myths, to the Bible, to the way entertainment has developed. Storytelling is something that we're born with, but it can be refined and learned. So that's my answer.
How do you know if a story is worth telling?
You know a story is worth telling if it matters to you. If it matters to you, then it's going to matter for somebody else, because ultimately we resonate with other people. There are other people who identify with the same things that we identify with. No matter what part of your identity we're focusing on, there's somebody else who's kind of like you somewhere. So that means your story is worth telling, because it's not only for yourself, it's for your audience. It's for whom you're sharing it with.
Do you think there is more that connects humanity than keeps us individual?
Yeah, I mean, if you remember that we are all part of this human race, we all have this shared experience of life, and hopefully that life is filled with health and happiness and all of the good, wonderful things, which is an important wish to put out there, especially during this time. So absolutely, there are things that connect us. One of the most beautiful things that I love to experience as a storyteller, as an actor, as a director, as a filmmaker, even as a television host, is when I can share somebody's specific story, to share something very specific about a unique character. and have that resonate with somebody completely different. And that's how storytelling becomes a form of advocacy. That's how storytelling becomes a form of representation. When I can focus on this character and on this story and reveal to an audience member, wow, that's what that type of person feels. I feel that too. And that's what connects us as humanity. That's the beauty of this art form.
That's so powerful, because what you can do is you can have two people who have completely opposing views, and through a narrative that they both identify with, all of a sudden you take two opposing forces and now they're connected. That's very powerful, Yuval. Do you ever think about that?
I think about that regularly. I often refer to the term lean in. So my fabulous publicist Ina and I were talking about skiing the other day, and I'm an avid snow skier. I try to ski maybe 25 days a year if I can. And skiing is a forward moving sport. In order to do it well, you must lean in. Even when you're frightened, you can't lean back. You must lean into it. When something is challenging you, you must lean into it. And I do the same thing with those challenging conversations. When somebody is triggered, which is a term I don't like to use, but it's often used these days, I prefer to say activated instead of triggered. So when somebody is activated by a conversation or by an event or by what they're watching, by the entertainment, well, lean into it. Why are you activated? How is it activating you? And then when I try to share this story with somebody who might disagree with me, well, why are they disagreeing with me? What is it about what I said that makes you disagree with me? What is it about me that you don't like? And to re-engage in the conversation. And that shows that I'm respecting them the same way that I desire to be respected. So one of my favorite things to say is when somebody says, oh, you know, this is complicated. Let's just end the conversation. And I say, oh, well, what makes it complicated for you? And that question re-engages. So I actually love to lean in and re-engage, because you know what? Maybe somebody's going to change my idea. Maybe somebody's going to change my opinion, and maybe I will become a changed person based on this shared experience. I want to be changed just as much as I want to change others.
You tell a lot of other people's stories through your directing, through your acting. Often it's not preempted, it's not scripted. What's your story?
Well, I lean in. I'm going to now use that term throughout this whole interview. I lean into the mantra that I developed a very long time ago, actually, when I was a teenager. I live the life of the loving adventurer, where love is not just an emotion, it's a state of being, and everything is an adventure. That's my story. My story is shaped by that. Maybe we can call that mantra my hiking boots or my ski boots or whatever my shoes are, right? I'm focusing on shoes for some reason. That allows me to be on the journey of my story. My story is easily defined with my identity. I am a Jewish artist, Israeli American Zionist, gay, bi, queer storyteller.
Did your parents tell you stories when you were little?
Always. I very much was raised with the understanding of who I am and where I come from. I'm the child of immigrants who are children of immigrants. I'm the grandchild of Holocaust survivors and heroes of the war. My parents grew up from poverty to build up themselves and create a family and try to provide as much as possible for myself, for my brother. Same thing for all of my cousins. My grandparents did the same thing for them. And because we have such a small family, it's important to share the stories to make sure that the heritage is passed on, that the memories of those who didn't have the opportunities that we do continue. So their memory must continue, their stories must continue, and the history isn't lost. I also had the benefit of going to a private Jewish day school from kindergarten through 12th grade. And throughout that, I also was raised with the stories. What is history? History. Whose story is history? And how can we also learn history from different people's perspectives? What is the perspective of the Jewish people throughout the course of human history? What is the perspective of other marginalized or victimized communities throughout the telling of history? What is the women's perspective throughout history? How can we tell history? And looking, for example, at the kings and queens of England by focusing on the woman's perspective instead of a male-dominated misogynist perspective. How do we look at that differently? How do we learn about the history of slavery in America and Europe from the African perspective? Right. So there are so many different ways that I was introduced to think about things in different ways. I very much attribute it. Actually, yesterday I had a wonderful phone conversation with the head of Chabad in the United States. And we were talking about Jewish learning and what Jewish learning is. One of my favorite things about Jewish learning is that you're supposed to answer a question with a question. You're allowed to question the question. You don't just accept everything you receive. Receive it and analyze it, process it, and make it your own.
You speak about being third generation, post-Holocaust. Are you ever going to tell that story, Yuval?
That is a question that many people in my family ask me as well. That has to be a passion project of mine. I've been doing a lot of research. I tell that story often at live events. I get brought in, for example, by the Shoah Foundation, which was created by Steven Spielberg and captured the testimonies of Holocaust survivors. But what's amazing about this foundation, this organization, is it didn't only focus on their stories during the Holocaust, it also focused on their lives before and after. So I get brought in by this organization to tell the story of my grandparents and to demonstrate why the telling of these stories is so important. So what I now need to do is not only to tell the story at live events and to write articles about it, but I must create content with it because ultimately I'm a content creator. So my dream, my goal, one of the projects that I'm working on is developing this into a film or a series, the story of my grandparents, which is an incredible, inspiring story of perseverance. And actually, it's a love story set in the context of the horrors of the Holocaust. I need to tell the story and you can, send over the Jewish guilt and whatever other Jewish guilt, because so many people in my family are like, come on, you have to do this already. So yes, I must do it. It's actually very actively being worked on right now by me and my production team.
That's fantastic. If you've just joined me, this is Community in Conversation. I'm Kathy Kaler. My guest is Yuval David. He is a filmmaker. He is an actor. He's a host. He's an advocate. He produces, directs, writes short and feature films, documentaries, web series, digital and TV content. You will know him from hit shows like Madam Secretary, The Michael J. Fox, Days of Our Lives, and ABC's popular primetime series, What Would You Do?, which is absolutely hilarious. You have to go and watch it if you haven't watched it. And Yuval's also got a YouTube channel. You can go, all his videos are up there. You can just go and subscribe to that. Yuval, how do you plan a story? Or do you just let it, unravel in an organic kind of way?
How do I plan a story, or do I let it unravel in an organic way? It's both. I often compare it to jazz music. The more I'm prepared, the more I'm educated, the more experience I have, the more I can sit down and start playing. It's the same thing with telling a story. I know my vessel. I know what I have and what I bring to the table, so to speak. And then I'm able to utilize it. So it starts with, what is this story about? Why do I need to share this story? Who am I sharing it with? And why am I sharing it with these people? Those questions can be answered often very easily and quickly with a one sentence answer to each of those questions. Once I have that, once I understand my audience, I understand why I need to share this story, why it's important to me, I can then tell the story. Now, that doesn't mean that I leave everything up to improv and jazz and just going with the flow. I very much do planning. I love to write scripts. I love to act off of a script and direct a script. But my favorite things are what happens between the lines. What happens when you have the script and you allow yourself to be playful, to be in the moment. So, for example, when I act, I will speak with the director and the writers and the producers and understand how comfortable they are with my going off script at times. Sometimes I work with people who love the script, love the written word, and that's what it is, and that's what you must do, and do not deviate from it. Okay, now I think that's a challenge. Where can I still play? So it's the way I say the line. It's the way I breathe and what I think and what I'm doing between the words, between the lines, so I can find that as an actor. If they say, sure, yeah, we love improv, we love playfulness, and I've had a lot of television shows that I've done where I did have that ability to improvise. And I don't wait for action to be in character. I'm already in character. I'm already thinking about the scene, and I'm already giving them material that they can work with, because my experience as a director and filmmaker, there's so many amazing things that happen before an actor hears action, and also afterwards. So once the word cut is said, it doesn't mean that I'm completely out of it, because, you know, the camera might still be able to capture something really great, really wonderful. And that's happened within my experiences as an actor, where something was used that I did before the scene actually started, before we started the dialogue. And I absolutely do the same thing as a director. There are times that I let my camera operators and directors of photography and audio recordists, sound recordists, I let them know to start recording, or I have a little cue word or a gesture for them to start recording before I say sound, speed, action, and before the actors know that they're being recorded, because now I'm capturing my actors doing things that they are completely being natural in. So it's how to add improv. It's how to add playfulness. This is a really long answer to your question, but obviously I love this and I can philosophize about the whole journey. But the short answer to your question is, yes, you must be prepared and bring in the playfulness of improv, because that can only enhance your story.
Can we talk about one actor short?
Yes, you must talk about one actor short. I love it.
Let's take a listen. This is the trailer.
Yuval David here in New York City. With my film crew, I have no clue what kind of film we're going to create. I ask random strangers to play a role in a movie.
Let's have you as a bad guy. We don't have any bad guys yet. How about you're the guy who trained us how to fight?
Okay.
Every scene and every new character will directly affect the overall narrative and structure of the movie.
Let me know when you're ready. So you're saying Jake broke protocol?
Didn't plan out.
Well, I'm going to try to find him, and I'm going to try to prove you wrong.
You can try.
I like secrets. Do you like them?
No.
Let's see what we get.
Yuval, you co-opt strangers off the street to act in your movie there and then. If they're in running clothes, if they are going somewhere looking fabulous, and they do it. What were you thinking?
What was I thinking in order to create this?
What were you thinking? I'm going to get people off the street who know nothing about acting.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
psychopaths answering in a movie.
Yes, you just answered my question. You just said it. I'm going to give people this opportunity. I've always been a lover of guerrilla theater, which is theater for an audience that doesn't expect to be an audience. I love guerrilla filmmaking, filming at places when there's a little bit of riskiness that we maybe don't have a permit to film there, or, you know, as long as we don't put the camera, a tripod down on the ground, which are some of the laws in New York and Washington, D.C., as long as a tripod doesn't touch the ground, you're able to film and capture whatever the human eye can see, right? So I think, okay, how can I film in this way? How can I create an experience for an audience that doesn't expect to be an audience. But I said, wait a second, how can I create a collaborative experience with somebody who doesn't expect to be a collaborator, with somebody who doesn't expect to be an actor in a film? What will happen if that's my concept? And that's how this whole one actor short concept was born.
Were you surprised at the ability of regular people to act?
Oh gosh, all the time. All the time. I will also have to say that some of the worst acting performances, some of the people who probably won't be actors in their professional lives, end up delivering some of the most amazing performances, because this is a concept where it's about being silly. It's about being in the moment. It's about just enjoying what's happening and just being playful. And of course the magic happens in the editing and the post-production, because I can really edit anybody to be amazing or not. But there are times when somebody just delivers this great performance and I say, wow, are you actually an actor professionally? And they said, no, I've never been in front of a camera before. And maybe this awakens something within them. Maybe this awakens something that could be a vocation or an avocation for them, something they do more often. But the most important thing, no matter if they're amazing actors or not amazing actors, is the ultimate concept of one actor short. Everybody is important and everybody is unique and everybody is special enough to have cameras pointing at them and watching them and audio recording their sound. It ultimately makes everybody feel really good about themselves. Like, ooh, wait, I'm in a movie? He wants me to be in a movie. And I've encountered people who said, I was having a really rough day until this. Right now, I feel so much better about myself. Or I was just having a really great day. And now, what an amazing day. I did this. And now I'm in a movie. And you see these people get really excited and uplifted by this concept. So I love it.
I really, really enjoyed the series. Are we all creative? Do we all have creativity within us?
What do you think?
I'm not the expert. You are. You're the one who asks people.
How are you not an expert? You have a show. Are you not creating a show?
I know I'm creative, but okay. I don't know that everybody is. I don't go and talk to strangers on the street and get them to act in movies.
So what do you do that's creative in addition to this show?
I do lots of creative things.
Tell me.
I'm also a storyteller. A news story is not just a news story, especially in today's world. You have to simplify things. Give people the facts. You don't have to tell them what to think. And I think that is part of valuable storytelling. Whether you're telling a story or whether I'm telling a story, these are the facts. This is how you see it. You know, there's something about radio is that you can't make somebody who they aren't. And it also shows who people really are. And it's not our job to change them. Do you feel the same about what you do?
That was a Lekka answer. That was great. Beautiful, beautifully said. So first, yes, it's about how do we give information to somebody and let that information become their own. That's a creative process. The entire process, your process that you just described, is integral within the creative process if we are creating content for somebody other than ourselves. Look, we were talking about creativity. You were asking me if everybody's creative. Absolutely everybody's creative. Do you make yourself a coffee in the morning? And by the way, have you been to Truth Coffee in Cape Town?
No.
For your Cape Townian listeners, definitely check out Truth Coffee. And I'm doing a shameless plug right now because it is owned by my cousins. They love Truth Coffee. So yeah, but you know, the way you make your coffee in the morning, is that not creative? The way you brew your coffee. Obviously I love coffee. For example, today I had a cardamom lavender oat milk latte. I was being creative. The way you feed your children, you're being creative. You're creating food. The way you make your bed in the morning, you're being creative. We can look at the smallest, most simple things as creative. And that's one of the things that the various art movements of the early 1900s started to focus on. For example, there was Impressionism and Expressionism and Dadaism and Futurism and all of these movements that each had a, not just a mantra, but they each had a mission statement. They saw themselves as socio-political movements. So architecture is art and creative. There's Dada artists even put urinals and toilets in museums and said, oh, this is art. Somebody designed it. The shape of this is creative. It is art. The way we do our hair, creative, right? So we can go on from all of these very, very specific things. The way a teacher creates a lesson plan, the way a journalist writes an article, the way a producer edits the sound of this piece in our conversation here. So if we remember that we are all creative, it allows us to lean in even further and explore how much more creative we might be able to be. And that's when it focuses on what we're doing, why we're doing it, and who we're sharing it with. Ultimately, that's storytelling.
Staying with one actor short, I know that if I had to approach a random stranger and ask them to be available immediately in that moment to act in a movie I was making, because we were one actor short, I very much doubt anybody would. Talk to me about Yuval's power of persuasion.
I don't accept no as an answer until I hear it three times. And then the third time I hear no, I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, fine. Oh, geez. Okay, no. I get it. I enjoy welcoming people into my world and sharing that and making it an our world thing. And I don't take no for an answer, but how can I do that with charm, with kindness, with inclusion, and kind of destabilize any fear or negativity or anxiety or the way so many of us are trained to avoid stranger, right? Stranger danger, right? How to just listen and receive what it is that I'm trying to say. I've had people who immediately said no and then gave me another chance to explain who I am and what this project is. And then they said yes, and then they did it, and they loved it, and they said, I can't believe I said no originally. This was amazing, one of the most amazing experiences. I've also had people who say no, and I said, well, no. I said, well, how about no? And I was like, ooh, okay. And that's also part of the process, because if in this process I was succeeding with every single person saying yes and agreeing to be part of it, I don't think this would be as interesting. That's why part of One Actor Short starts out with my saying, hi, I'm Yuval David. I'm at this and this location. I have no clue what kind of film I'm about to create. It's all dependent on the people I engage with and the scenes that we create with the people who say yes and agree to take part in this experimental film process. So I need to show the people who say no. If everybody says yes, then the beginning of the concept, it'll feel too easy. It's not easy. And that's what attracts me to it.
What struck me about the series One Actor Short, and we are going to talk about some of your other works as well, is the generosity of spirit that you're able to tap into in people. You must have an incredibly high EQ to be able to read people, tap into, say, for example, somebody who said no. You've got to tap into a part of them that accesses their generosity of spirit. That is a very unique skill that not everybody can do. Do you think you could teach us how to do that?
Absolutely. It has made me think that I could easily stage myself as being a psychic reader, one of those people who sets up a little storefront with the neon sign that says, you know, I will read your palm, or I will tell your future. Because what am I doing? I'm reading people. How are they walking? What do they look like? What are they dressed like? How are they moving through space? What is their physicality saying about them? And I absorb that information. Then I start speaking with them if they're not zooming by me, right? If I have any little moment of an opportunity to engage, then I try to engage and I try to assess the situation, right? It's what so many of us do. It's part of human nature. By the way, I also studied for a long time Laban movement analysis, which is used by many people in the dance and choreography world, but it's also used by physical therapists and personal trainers and people who analyze politicians who are speaking at an event and televised, and they say, oh, did you see the way the person is blinking this many times or swaying side to side or whatever they're doing? So I've studied this movement analysis, and it helps me read people and show I feel like I'm being some sort of spy, because I'm able to read things about people that they don't know they're revealing. So I immediately use this because I've studied it. It's part of my tools. I try to make it okay for them to just share who they are. Thank you for saying that I have a high EQ. Yes, I agree. I do think that my EQ helps me because I can read and assess a situation with the tools and the training that I have, but also giving myself the moment to breathe, to listen, to see, to really absorb this person and understand what energy they're emitting. And then I can understand what kind of energy I must give to create a choreography so they will give me an extra moment that might help me convince them to say yes and agree to be part of this project.
You mentioned feeling like a spy. Do you have an interest in spycraft?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I've had fantasies about being a spy for a long time. And in fact, maybe there's something I'm not able to say. I wish. No, I so wish. I wish I could say that. You say the same?
I love spycraft. And I remember, incredible, I was thinking about this when I was watching your videos. There's a whole lot of former FBI agents who have come out there, do talks around the world, whether it's hostage negotiators or whether it's the head of camouflage, and it's quite fascinating. This woman was, I can't think of her name offhand. If you want to become invisible in a crowd and you've got to disappear. So one of the exercises that they do at the FBI is, I think they give you 30 seconds to change your appearance completely. And she explains it like an onion, that the way a person walks is unique to that person. The way that they talk, the way that they hold themselves, the shoulders, if the hair's short, you need to make it long. If it's long, you need to make it short. If it's brown, you need to make it blonde. If it's blonde, you need to make it ginger. You have to change every element of yourself to become a different person. And when I watch your, especially your What Would You Do series, you do become those people. The hairdresser becomes a different person to the bouncer. Even though to the viewer, you look the same. So do you go through that process?
Oh, absolutely. I love being a chameleon and blending in. Throughout my world travels, one of the biggest compliments I would receive is when people, locals, would assume that I'm from that town or from that area and would just speak to me in their native tongue, thinking that I'm a local and not this American tourist who's, you know, doing what American tourists are joked about doing. So that is a big compliment. How can I blend in? And then, for example, on What Would You Do or my other person on the street content, how can I blend in and look like the person who I'm engaging with, or blend into the environment so I fit into the scenario with this random stranger who I'm engaging with? That's also a very comforting thing. We talk about body language. When you're engaging in a conversation with somebody, one of the tricks is to start to utilize the same physicality. If they're crossing their arms, then you cross their arms. If they're leaning back, so you lean back. If they are doing something or turning their head or even moving their hair behind their ear, whatever it is, do that as well. And there's something psychological that happens to the person who's receiving your information, right? Whatever it is you're imparting to them, your the visual, the sounds you're making, the actual words and information you're sharing, it becomes something more approachable and easy for them to absorb when you are becoming like them. It's a total craft. So yeah, I would love to be a spy because I do this all the time. I do it throughout my acting. I also do it when I'm directing. If I'm directing an actor through a challenging scene, I need to allow it to be challenging for them and get them to a place where they enjoy the challenge and accept it and know that they're giving me everything that I need. Actually, oftentimes I say, less, give me less. I don't need as much, because it's what happens in that awkwardness within that challenge, which is most beautiful and compelling. So yeah, exactly what you said, you know, these lectures that former FBI and special agents can teach are the same things that any public official needs to learn. Any public figure needs to learn. Any public speaker. How are you presenting yourself? How can you become a person of the people by reflecting the people? How can I share a story with an audience? Well, I can do that by reflecting my audience, by making this a story of and for my audience.
If you've just joined me, I'm speaking to actor, director, producer, storyteller, Yuval David. Yuval, you're an advocate for LGBTQ rights. Can we talk about your latest project?
Yes, I'm an advocate for LGBTQ plus rights. I like to add the plus because it's the plus of inclusion. It's the plus of allyship. So that means that everybody who is part of the LGBTQ community or just loves and supports the LGBTQ community is now part of the LGBTQ plus movement. So the plus is important. As a content creator, as a filmmaker, as a host, as an actor, and even articles that I'm writing, these are all platforms and opportunities for me to engage in activism and advocacy. How can I use my platform to actually create the social change and the political change and the environmental change that I think this world needs? And it was a seamless transition for me to advocate on behalf of my communities. I advocate on behalf of the LGBTQ community because I'm part of this community and there's a need for further representation and for further rights and inclusion. So I'm currently directing a feature-length film called Wonderfully Made LGBTQ plus R, where the R stands for religion. And within this film, I'm exploring the aspirations and the challenges of LGBTQ people of faith. What happens to them and how are they also treated by the faithful communities, by the larger operations of religion? I'm also creating an advocacy series that I'm filming in Washington, D.C., where I talk about underreported human rights atrocities. For example, one that has gotten quite far is I wrote a series of articles and created short form news video stories about LGBTQ people in Afghanistan and what is happening to them. It's a part of the Afghani community that wasn't spoken about. We spoke about all of these nations evacuating Afghanistan and the Taliban taking over and ISIS-K taking over and trying to help evacuate people who worked with foreign nations and evacuating women's rights activists. But people weren't talking about the LGBTQ activists. And what has happened is since the Taliban has taken over, these gay, lesbian, and trans people are getting brutalized, are getting raped. Many people are getting raped on an almost daily basis and then blackmailed that if they don't give up their bodies or if they don't pay out or do whatever they're doing, they'll get turned in. These people are having a horrid, horrid experience, and it's frightening. So I said, this is a story that needs to be reported. Well, what happened? These videos and the articles that I wrote ended up getting such exposure that I've had meetings at the White House and at the State Department and engaging with nonprofit organizations such as the Rainbow Railroad or Dignity LGBTQI or Freedom House to try to get these people out. How can we rescue them? And that's the power of creating content, of sharing a story and sharing a news story in a compelling way. How can I touch the hearts of people who have ignored LGBTQ people in Afghanistan? Because we don't hear them spoken about. So that's what this advocacy series is doing. I have another one about women and children in northern Nigeria. In the first half of 2021, the number was up to over 2,000 women and children were kidnapped by Boko Haram and other Islamist bandit groups who would come in and kidnap people. Then they would take ransom from the families, and many times they wouldn't give the women and young girls back, especially because they would be married off to their captors. So I don't know about the news you're absorbing in Johannesburg, and maybe it's different than what I'm hearing and reading in the United States, but that's not a story that's been covered in the US. Why not? These things are happening.
We certainly cover it because it's on our doorstep.
It is on your doorstep.
Just like it's happening today, it was 244 Nigerian schoolgirls. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
But they were abducted and they were kept. And thank God the world did respond in some way. But at the end of the day, the news cycle is so fast that as fast as it comes on, 24 hours later, it's gone. And people forget about it because somebody living in the United States, South Africa, Mauritius, it's not part of their day-to-day reality. So what you're doing with your stories, Yuval, is very important because it keeps it in the conversation. It keeps it in our consciousness. You know, the same about the Uyghurs.
Right.
What's happening, well, yes, it's happening on the other end of the world. It's happening in China. But when we as Jews look at this situation and we say, the world was silent when it happened to our people, and the world knew and they took no action. Well, the world knows about the Uyghurs and we're taking no action.
Yeah, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to take action. And you mentioned, as Jews, what do we do? It's why I'm so proudly Zionist, because Zionism has the same principle from within Judaism, to be or l'goim v'kechol l'goim, to be like other nations and to be a light unto other nations, that even though we are our own people, we're also of the world people. We must take care of the rest of the world. It is our responsibility, because Judaism, ultimately, you know, we talk about other religions, for example, Christianity is about love, right? A very important concept. Judaism is about social justice. Judaism is about tzedek, tzedek tirdof, justice, justice you must pursue. Now, I'm not saying that one religion is better than another, but I'm only focusing on the perspective of Jewish culture and traditions, where we must speak up about Muslim communities, Christian communities, Buddhist community, whatever the communities are, people who are in need. And that's why you see so many Jewish people who are social justice warriors at the forefront of social justice movements, because those of us who are raised with that Jewish experience understand that it is our responsibility to take action. So, yeah, my advocacy is inspired by being Jewish.
Yuval, you do fantastic accents. You're a brilliant mimic. Where do you get your South African accent from?
My favorite is the Cape Malay dialect. It's just totally, I just delight when I hear it. Where do I get it from? I get it from when I listen to people and I deeply desire to mimic them immediately in the moment, but I have to do so in a way that it's clear that I'm not making fun of them. It's clear that I'm delighting in who they are and what I see as unique and special. But for example, with South Africa, I actually have family in Cape Town. All of you must go to their restaurant, Stardust Theatrical Dining. It's one of the top restaurants in Cape Town. I'm not only saying this because I love them and I'm so proud of them, but it's actually an amazing experience. Gosh, what's the address? That's on Sir Lowry Road. It's this place where not only do you get this delightful, delicious meal, but they bring in the entire staff, are all these creative performers. So it's basically dinner and a show at the same time. So I'm glad that my family in South Africa also does similar things to me, where they want to create a space for people to delight and to show off their talents and their skills. And that's really what you get at this restaurant, a delicious, incredible, flavorful meal and just a delightful celebration.
Have you been to South Africa?
Yes, of course. I love my family. I've been there to visit my family and to travel around South Africa. Some of the most memorable experiences were going into the townships and just engaging and speaking with people and playing games with people and talking about our lives and our different unique perspectives, but what are our similar perspectives? And that's a very, very special thing. I think that the history and the culture of South Africa and the people of South Africa have so much to offer. And I've been aware of that throughout my life because I have family in South Africa. And if I ever encounter somebody who isn't as aware of this cultural wealth from all of the many peoples of South Africa, then I definitely hope that I can help inspire them to dive deeper into it and to learn more about South African culture and music. Oh, and the food. Oh, yo, yo, the food's amazing.
People say that about Israel, but you're right. And I think that South Africa is, you know, we are a very mineral rich, blessed country. It's one of the most beautiful countries in the world.
Absolutely.
With all of that, with all of our gold and our diamonds, our greatest asset in South Africa is our people. Yuval, I have loved speaking to you.
And I've loved speaking with you.
Really, you have such tremendous depth. I love the stories that you're telling. I love the sense of humor, as well as the very serious, poignant, important stories that you're telling. I just want to say thank you, because I think that what you're doing is you're also taking filmmaking into the hands of people by giving people an opportunity to be parts of your movies. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you for inviting me to be on your show and for including me here. As much as I focus on inclusion and including other people, I also love to be included. So thank you for making me feel great and special and being here with you and chatting with you. I don't take it lightly as much as I enjoy it and can laugh and giggle with you, especially when your dog barks and is seeking treats above your refrigerator. But I very much appreciate it. It's conversations like this that can further empower, and not only can, that do further empower me and energize me. I put so much energy out into the world, but I also need energy to come back. So that's what you gave me. And thank you for seeing me and appreciating my work. I don't do it for myself.
Thank you so much. And I wish you a Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
That is Yuval David. He is an award-winning and celebrated actor, host, filmmaker, and advocate. Produces, he directs, he writes short and feature films, documentaries, web series, digital and TV content. Go and subscribe to his YouTube channel. All of his videos are there. You can check it out. And don't miss What Would You Do? And One Actor Short. It is absolutely brilliant series. And to you, dear listener, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom of peace, of joy, and of many, many stories to be told. For Community in Conversation, I'm Kathy Kayla.
It's a Community in Conversation. Join Kathy Kayla every Friday at 9 a.m. for Community in Conversation. Be brave enough to start a conversation that matters. Right here on 101.9 High FM.